Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Undercooked and Overlooked, a critical analysis of Rob Schneider's attempt to shake up the traditional show business model with his self-funded, self-produced, self-directed and self-starring television program that is semi-autobiographical called Real Rob. I'm Guy Montgomery.
My name is Tim Batt, and I'd like to welcome this episode's guest, direct from Australia, it's comedian Cameron James.
Oh, boys, I am so happy to be here for this joyous event of watching one of my comedic heroes.
Yes.
Absolutely shaking up the system.
He's shaking it up with two hands firmly around the throat of Hollywood.
One hand, the producer. Yes. The other hand, the director.
The other hand, acting. And a fourth and final hand, writing talent. Head writing
four
talent.
Four hands. He's the Vishnu of comedy, this guy.
Surely he
He's
is.
Probably got a great bit about it as well.
In fact, sure he does. I'll bet he does the accent. I bet he does a perfect, pitch-perfect Indian accent. Because as we saw in this episode, no accent eludes the comedic talents of Rob Schneider.
Accents on point. Now, this is episode 3 of the show.
That's right. It's called The Penis Episode Part 2.
Part 2. What happened in part 1?
Can I get a little context? A great and fair question. So The Penis Episode Part 1 was actually mostly ball-focused.
It can be summed up, I think, mainly with his wife wanted him to get a vasectomy. He was scared, and he also read a blog online saying it could give him dementia. So he got his hapless assistant, Jamie, to get one and then monitored him
sort
like a lab.
By way of experiment. But, I understand you'd be fearful that you might miss some vital plot point, because a part one, part two doubleheader would usually suggest some sort of carryover of consequence. But literally nothing that the part one, part two addendum is so superfluous.
So there was no Viagra plot to part one. There was no deal with Taiwan.
No.
Okay, so just really they wrote two dick-themed episodes and went, well, we may as well link them.
Yeah. Okay, is two too many? What's a quick fix here?
CJ, can you take us through the episode, like loose plot outline?
Absolutely. First of all, thanks for calling me by my nickname, CJ, which we all agree is cool.
I don't think so.
Yes? What are you saying?
Guys on board,
you like it?
I think CJ can be a very cool nickname for some people.
And?
You're Cam, man. You're Cam.
I can be many things. Cam, CJ, Papa CJ.
You can be one of those
Cammy
things.
Cammy J.
I'll give you Cammy
J and Randy.
I'll give you Cammy J.
Cammy J is Randy.
Paint yourself purple.
Okay, I'll take you through the episode. So it starts, as I assume it always does, with Rob in the club. The cellar, probably.
That's right. There's two main ways that Rob Schneider seems to understand how to start and end an episode.
Okay.
It's either in a stand-up comedy club or in his marital bed. Like, it seems to me that Rob Schneider thinks the sole reason his CBS show was cancelled years before was because he did not bookend every episode with him and his wife in bed. And he is not going to run, he's not running the risk of making that same mistake.
So that's been
again
a theme in episode 1 and 2 as well. Okay, good.
So you said, what comedy club is this?
Yeah, I watched it. I'm thinking, what is this club? Is this the famous Comedy Cellar? Is it Caroline's? Is this Zany's? Yuck Yucks? It could be any of these clubs.
See more?
The Chuckle Hut, LOL Station.
LOL Station is, of course, a very well storied club.
Two more, Cammy J.
The Comedy Shack. And
The world famous?
The smile and nod.
The smile and nod or smiling nod?
Smile and nod.
Well, that's a terrible name for a comedy club.
Yeah, it's not a very loud one. Yeah. Smile and nod.
Laughing discouraged? Well, you're right
the
in saying
smirk.
It could be any of them because there is no neon sign to suggest what comedy club he's actually performing.
There's also no audience shots or any camera angles that reveal any more of the space. Just the brick wall behind him and some sort of vague black, like empty void to the side. So I assume this is shot on a stage somewhere. What do you think?
Right. I think you're right.
There was,
let's press forward.
I caught on to that early, and Tim is a convert as well. There's no denying that this man is not performing stand-up comedy for an audience.
I didn't believe Guy when he said it in Ep 1, and then I was watching Ep 2. I was like, fuck, he's right.
So you reckon there's no crowd there? He's canned those in.
It's piped in.
Which is madness.
That's insane.
He's a...
It also explains why there are any laughs at all to a routine that is what? It's just him describing different stereotypes about Asian people.
Yeah.
So you think, okay, all his stand-up gear in this show is about Chinese people or Asian people in general. You'd think maybe there'd be some sort of theme throughout the show that that's what it's going to be about. I don't think there is, really.
No, very tenuous connection because he... In his bumbling ineptitude, his agent calls him, this is probably the most featured the agent has been in so far.
Andy,
that's right. And he has an offer for $500,000 to do some sort of...
Viagra, I think.
A Viagra ad in Taiwan.
No, this is in America. He gets a $500,000 offer. And then Rob says, there's no way I'm going to do an ad.
Oh, was it the prostate ad or something?
Yeah, that's the prostate ad.
That's right.
And then Rob instead takes a side hustle where he takes a $50,000 ad for some variant of Viagra, which is based out of Taiwan.
Mm. It'll only be seen in Asia. He doesn't care about this.
And it's even a cashy.
He's part Filipino, which I broke that news to you guys.
Yeah,
he is. His paternal grandmother.
That's why he's allowed to do the Chinese voice on
That's
stage.
That's why I think he's allowed to do it.
No, his maternal grandmother, so very important distinction.
Very important distinction. Women
smash
first.
The patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah, raise the matriarchy up.
Yeah.
Let them take over for a bit.
That's right. See how you like it.
Let them have it.
So, so he strikes some deal with Taiwan to do a Viagra ad, which he assumes will only be in Taiwan and China. Lo and behold, the sneaky CEO, and I didn't choose that word deliberately.
Jimmy is his name.
The CEO.
I was wondering where you were going to land on that description of our antagonist this episode.
Insidiously.
A Chinaman.
There are no antagonists per episode because everyone in this show is an antagonist.
Everyone's against Rob.
But Rob's
and Rob is, like, against
and Rob
all
is also
of us.
There is no one to root for.
Anyway, this CEO actually puts the ad in the States via a series of big billboards in LA and some other things. And so Rob then has to deal with trying to get those taken down because he's embarrassed. Everyone thinks his dick don't work.
And that is...
God, that's good.
His dick do
that'd,
work.
That'd blow the roof off at LOL Station if you brought that kind of gear in.
Yeah. The smile and nod.
They wouldn't know what hit him.
Might even get a laugh at him. That is, in Rob Schneider's mind, as told by that episode, the greatest humiliation is the idea that anyone else in the world would know he might be impotent. He literally cannot... muster in his mind's eye anything more embarrassing.
He's outed himself as a racist on stage night after night, but he's like, but I will not have on my watch someone suspecting my dick don't work.
One of the least sexual people or performers I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
So no one's even asking the question.
Who cares?
No one wants to think about it, Rob.
That's the problem with him, I think, though, is that because he cast himself as a romantic lead in his comedies, he does want to be considered a sexual person or a sexual performer. But I got a confession to make. I'm a Rob Schneider fan. I love his early stuff. I love him in... I love all his SNL stuff from back in the 90s, the bad boys of SNL. I like him in bit roles in movies from that era as well.
Well,
like
that was his ascendancy.
Home Alone 2. He's so good as like
Oh, fuck, I forgot.
He always played kind of a villainous.
Boy.
Yeah,
he
like
was great.
Funny comedy relief character. He's great. And that's what I want to see him as. I want to see him as like a bumbling fool who's self-entitled and a bit arrogant and sneaky. But I don't care about seeing Rob.
Did you watch his solo movie Enterprises?
The hot chick, Deuce Bigelow, Mal Gigolo.
The animal?
The Animal.
Deuce Bigelow 2.
Didn't see Deuce Bigelow 2.
European Gigolo.
Didn't see it.
Why?
Did you like it?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, certainly didn't watch it. I can't see CJ pull it together.
That's the title, though. Yeah, come on, Kimmy J.
Yeah. So I've seen those, the big ones. There was that period of time where he was just all over the silver screen.
But did you love them? The solo ones, the non-Sandler?
I think I did at the time. I was the right age for it. Yeah. I was like 14 or 13 when those movies came out.
It's hard to watch. Like, the idea that we would care about any of Rob's shortcuts. Like, you know, he's so outwardly bad as a father, as a husband, as a client, as a friend. It's like, it's impossible to be invested in anything he does because it's just so...
That's so true. This show casts a spotlight just, you know, in even amounts of time on how he's a fucking terrible human, like, in these different facets.
But do you think he thinks that? The guy's writing the show, or at least co-writing it. Does he think he's a bad person in this?
It just shows you the level of, like, such a criminal lack of self-awareness.
Yeah. He just thinks it's funny that he fucks up, I guess.
Yes, but there's no charm to it. There's no, like...
He's trying to present the world is against me vibe, but it's like... He does nothing to sort of justify that viewpoint.
And it's hard to find...
Because he is the architect of every downfall in the show. It's not like he goes out with the best of intentions to help someone or even himself.
He's the architect of his own downfall. That has summed him up, though. Actually, a lot of his kind of passion projects over the past few years have cast him in the light of basically like a modern-day Job who's just like... Like, the world is crushing down. Yeah. He had a movie, I can't remember what it's called, but the movie begins... He wrote and directed it possibly as well. The movie begins with him attempting suicide because he's so depressed and that it fails, and then he spends the rest of the movie trying to, like, become zen and chill. And it's like it was a Rob Schneider comedy vehicle.
He's very Buddhist.
Is he?
I interviewed him once on the radio and he talked a lot about it.
About Buddhism.
He's Zen. I think he's Zen Buddhist. Or at least he was, you know, a few years
ago.
Was
it called The Chosen One?
Yeah, that's the one. The Chosen One.
I don't think he's Buddhist in the same way he's...
Well, he says he is.
Funny.
He drinks all... Yeah.
He's a self-identified Zen Buddhist and a self-identified comedian.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, it's this sort of, you know, this ashen touch is not, you know... reserved solely for Rob. Like Jamie Lasso, who plays the assistant, his character, so when he doesn't get a lot to do in this episode, but one of the tasks he gets given is to go and sort of approach some gangbangers to spray paint over this big billboard on which Rob's the face of infertility and
impotence.
And he puts a flannel shirt on him and he gives him a bandana, and there's a lot of great gags along the way.
Yeah,
like Rob Schneider blew his nose in the bandana.
Pretty
once.
Funny.
And he puts
a teardrop on his eye. Yeah. And then he approaches them, and he's dressed as a Blood, and the four guys who are spray painting wall are all dressed as Crips, and inevitably they turn on him and they start kicking the shit out of this guy. And this character is so unsympathetic. Like it's in the same way it's hard to like Rob, it's hard to like his assistant Jamie. Yeah. But it was so surprisingly and frustratingly not satisfying to watch this character get the shit kicked out of them. It wasn't
I feel for Jamie, though.
Why?
Because Rob has, as a character, like power over his decisions, and Jamie is just purely at the behest of this world that he finds himself
in. Sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Is Jamie a non-actor?
I think that's safe to fucking say.
Is Jamie his real-life assistant?
Yeah, no, well, Jamie's a real-life comedian.
He's a comic.
Really?
Yeah, he's a comedian in the same way Rob Schneider is a comedian.
he co-wrote this as well.
Yeah, I saw his name in the credits.
It's Rob's wife and Jamie.
And his friend Jamie, who's apparently a comedian. Who, by the way, I think has zero charm. Like, putting the two of them side by side on screen is great because it makes you excited whenever the camera flips back over to Rob.
It's true. Because Rob can act.
Rob can act.
And maybe Jamie can, do comedy. You know,
maybe
like
Jamie
in a stand-up sense. I don't want to tar, you know.
No, but he has blank, lifeless eyes and no discernible voice in this show, so I don't care. When he started getting beat up, I was like, excellent. Something's happening.
Yeah. But not in a way where you're like, yeah, here's a satisfying turn in the plot. You're just like, oh,
some respite
from
this dialogue.
It's not like if it was David Spade. Like, if David Spade was his assistant and he was like an underling, but a bit of a shit.
There's a great point. This entire watching this show has made me realize how much I value David Spade's funny.
Yes, he's really funny.
He's got chops.
You know what? It's crazy that this isn't a Happy Madison show. I feel very depressed thinking that he pitched it to Happy Madison and they said no.
That is literally how we backed into watching it.
Oh my God. I'm imagining this now because Adam Sandler takes it. Sorry, this is where you were going. I think, guy. Adam Sandler takes so many fucking digs at Rob Schneider in his films. He either will put him in for half of a frame in the worst role, or leaves him out. And we watched Jack and Jill recently, which is what led to us doing this. And he just makes fun of
There's
Rob Schneider without casting him in.
There's one big joke that David Spade gets at the end, which is like bullying Jill. It's like, who? Yeah. She's like, I was dating a celebrity. It's like, who? Rob Schneider? And everyone in the movie falls about. It's like, not only am I not
casting,
casting you, but fuck you as well.
Then to imagine Rob Schneider crawling into Adam Sandler's office after this decades-long punishment and going, can you please fund my project? And for Adam Sandler to then say no.
That's brutal because Happy Madison produced so much garbage. I watched The Benchwarmers the other day, which is Rob Schneider starring vehicle with David Spade's in
John
that
Hader?
Too. And John Hader. And it's pure, the worst thing I've seen. It's pure trash. But Rob Schneider's actually quite good in it.
I think
also,
this is what
Spade
I'm saying.
Is awesome. I love David
he
Spade.
He can act. He just can't write at all, I think.
Well, I think
Schneider.
The idea of him pitching this to Happy Madison leads me to ask you a question that we asked Tom Walker last time as well, which is, do you think we're punching up?
No, but who cares? You're punching down for sure.
We're punching down on Rob Schneider?
Yeah, but who cares? That's why, I mean, the guy sucks. Who gives a shit? No, I mean, to a degree, you're punching up. The guy has a Netflix show. That's a huge achievement. But also, he's been a punchline since South Park made fun of him.
Adam Sandler has been making fun of him for years and years. It's starting to bleed into other people.
It's crazy. I watched this show just thinking, I wish it was populated with even the people I hate from the Happy Madison, like,
the
staple
featured,
the of people.
The Adam Sandler featured players.
Yeah, I
can't. Like Peter Dante. Alan Covert.
Yeah, I wish Alan Covert was his assistant in this.
Alan Covert, he's
which
made me laugh
Alan
before.
Covert?
He was, have you seen Grandma's Boy?
He's the lead in Grandma's Boy. He's the caddy in Happy Gilmore.
And Jack and Jill, he was the homeless man at the dinner table to start the movie.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he's good.
He was the assistant in this, and I wish Nick Swardson was the agent. Yeah, or something like that.
Well, Nick Swardson was an agent, and like Nick Swartz,
oh yeah, he was. And Jack and Jill.
In terms of,
oh really,
he was Jack. You know, Jack's a big Hollywood ad executive.
Nick Swardson is half a rung on the ladder of disrespect higher than Rob Schneider.
Yeah,
over on Happy Madison's ladder of disrespect.
He got fucking dumped on in Jack and Jill, though. He just got the worst like character and consistently lines that just were nothing. It was kind of mean.
He's a good stand-up, though, Nick Swardson. I quite like him as a stand-up.
He got his own Comedy Central show.
He had a sketch show. He's good.
He's good, and he's a version of good in Grown Ups too.
Mm.
Like, he's doing something.
Hang on, he's in Grown Ups too.
He's the bus driver.
Yeah,
he got given a
love this production company.
You should watch Grown Ups too, bro.
Yeah, have you guys seen it?
Yeah, what are you doing? You spent a year telling people not to do that.
You guys watched it?
Things are different now. People change.
Yeah. The world has changed. Also, just, you know, you guys both picked up on this. I know that continuity is a minor quibble to have, but the dogged persistence with which they showcased the same continuity error as they applied Rob Schneider's rule of fives in comedy.
Yeah, explain to me the rule of fives.
Just like, if a joke doesn't work the first time or the second time or the third time, why not try it for a fourth and fifth time just in case that's when it finally starts
humming?
Absolutely.
There's a scene where he has sent his assistant Jamie up a ladder to spray paint over his face.
After he's had the shit kicked out of him.
Fuck. This is why I feel sorry for him, because it's just like, even though he's such a poorly drawn character and a terrible actor, like unspeakably bad, he just so consistently gets dumped on that I can't help but feel for the dude. Anyway...
You've lived with him for an hour and a half now. I've only lived with Jamie for half an hour.
It is incredible how short these episodes are and how depressed they can make you.
It's a real time warp when you're in there, right? It's something about the lack of air brakes and stuff.
So Jamie's up on the
billboard. I don't even know what point I was going to make.
It's a rule of fives, but it's the paint cans.
The continuity error is that we keep coming back to the ground where Rob's standing with his agent and they're holding the spray paint cans. And he's holding three cans, and then we flash away, and then back and he's got one, and then we flash and we're back and he's got two. And it's just like, it's so obvious.
And
they're so stark and in the front.
Because the only distraction from the continuity area is the written joke, which is that the assistant is having trouble catching the paint cans from up on the billboard.
And keep hitting him in the head.
Yeah,
that's real Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton.
Yeah, he's got a real Buster Keaton vibe.
Actually, now you say it.
Yeah.
Jamie is very Buster Keaton.
Yeah. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's very good. Very good physical comedy. I mean, we watched him get bashed by Crips.
Yes.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah.
We watched him get hit in the head five times by spray paint cans. Again, undeniably hilarious.
What were the, beyond these huge Buster Keaton-esque moments, were there any genuine laughs for you? As scripted in the show?
As scripted. So not unintentional laughs.
No, just any laughs whatsoever.
I
don't think you did it.
I don't think I laughed once.
I was keeping track.
But
you
a couple of times I said, that's funny. And I don't know if I was being genuine or not.
Name one, you fucking liar. You son of a bitch.
I honestly can't remember one.
If I think of you the way you would say that's funny after a joke in this show... That is like, there's so much, that is the most dismissive thing I can imagine anyone saying.
That's funny stuff. Yeah, I guess I probably was being sarcastic, but I think maybe there's a few things where you can see the joke and you know what they're going for.
That doesn't make something funny.
But you appreciate the effort. I think maybe...
Nice premise.
Yeah. I think maybe I'm watching this and I go, okay, Rob's written this. He's starring in it. He's producing it.
Directing
the guy, and I found out at the end he's directing it as well. The guy's stretched thin. And he's stretched himself too thin. He can't focus on everything at once. We need to bring in some outside help, and then he can focus on getting those laughs that I desire.
Yeah.
You know? But I can see the effort and I appreciate it. Good on you, Rob. Five stars.
That is the kindest read of the literally situation.
Just craving anyone else to show up at any point in the show, aren't you? Last episode we had Norm MacDonald showed up very briefly.
What? Okay, yeah. Now that's good. I wish I watched that episode.
Yeah, that's fucking classy.
Was it
but
funny?
But it came so here's the thing, because, you know, we both love Norm. Guy's a huge Norm fan. And so we knew that he was going to pop up in the series somewhere, but he came so early in episode two that it was kind of crushing.
There that goes.
Damn it.
Nothing to look forward
was
to.
Was it a funny scene at least?
It was funny in that Norm MacDonald was in the scene.
Yeah.
Norm MacDonald is funny.
Yeah.
But like that's not to say he can't be in something abjectly terrible.
Did Norm... Am I crazy or did Norm tweet something about this show a while ago?
Yeah, I think he tweeted support.
Didn't he tweet something like, oh, no, everyone should watch Real Rob on Netflix. It's like a genuinely hilarious show or something like that.
Rob Schneider has to have something big on Norm MacDonald.
Well, what? What do you think he's got on him?
I've said it before on the podcast. Norm's known for having lost everything from gambling before.
Yes, of course.
Rob Schneider, I think, in spite of his presentation of himself on this, you know, experiment in which he shakes up show business so vigorously.
Yeah. He's probably got a shred of both fingers at the business.
Yeah, he's got a shred of empathy, though. Norm's also maybe a good guy.
Rob helped Norm out, got him out of the hole a couple of times financially.
Know. Or Norm's just being a good guy to his, like, he's just, come along, little Rob.
I also reckon that maybe Norm, in his old age, he's drinking a bit more as well.
He doesn't drink.
Doesn't he? At all?
Nah.
Does he do drugs or anything?
Nah.
Nothing?
Never drank.
Fuck. I mean, I don't... This is so mean then, but is he like going just a little tiny bit senile or something in his old age?
You've been convinced for a while that Norm MacDonald's going to die young. Like, it's going to be a bit of a surprise. You've been telling me.
Wait a second. What? You've been saying this on the record?
No, just a guy, but now here it is. First of all, how old is he right now?
Old enough, man.
I think he's probably 50-something. I think he's fudged his date of birth a little bit.
I see.
Doesn't he not know his date of birth? Isn't that true? I've heard he doesn't know when he was born.
Huge, if true. I hope it is. But just watching him on his chat show that he does, which just got picked up by Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, can't wait.
But, you know, like, you are seeing a guy for like an hour and a half in sweatpants, so he's pretty relaxed, but he looks like... Maybe he's sort of starting to lose his edge a little.
Yeah.
I'm wrapping this up with so many euphemisms.
He's never been funnier. I think Norm MacDonald's never been
funnier. I won't hear a bad word spoken against him. I'd also like to say, I've just remembered, if we want, just to gauge, you know, Rob Schneider's standing over at Happy Madison. Have you guys seen the Conan interview he did with the other stars of Happy Madison or Grown Ups?
Cam, have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
I think maybe you should watch it right now.
Okay, put it on.
Do we have time?
No, we don't have time.
Oh, we don't? Okay, we'll have
to... How long does it go for?
It's like five minutes or something. But right, we'll post it on whatever the platform is getting on.
Oh my God, it's so heartbreaking. It's Rob Schneider trying to get like a funny line / anecdote in, and they're all there on the... There's like five of them. David Spade's there. Sandler. Who else is in the... There's a couple other guys there. Peter Dante might be...
Norm MacDonald's there.
Is Norm part of it?
Is Chris Rock in there?
I think it might be sort of grown-ups too and Heavy Medicine adjacent.
Which, if you're a booker...
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. You see those names coming up for a press junkie, like fucking yum yum. Right, but fuck, man, Schneider. Oh God, his performance in this appearance on TV just breaks my little heart.
So, do you want Rob to win?
I just want him to stop trying.
Well, the thing is, in any setting where he's not the alpha, you feel bad for him and you want him to win. But then, as soon as you see him put himself on an alpha platform, you're like, "No, you little dog, get down."
Yeah. I just want him to be quiet.
We've got to wrap this one up, Cam. What would you say to Rob Schneider right now if you could talk to him?
I'd say, Rob, chin up and dick out.
Very good. Thank you very much, Cam.
Thanks for having me, guys. We'll leave you
with a quote from Rob Schneider.
Hold on, before we do, that's a really lovely way to end, by the way. I dig that a lot. Cam, do you want to plug some shit? Mm. Podcast shows? What have we got? I don't know when this is coming out.
I have two podcasts, one called Total Reboot, where myself and my buddy Alexei Toliopoulos watch an original film and then the reboot of it and compare and contrast them. I have another one called Mic Check with Cameron James and Alexei Toliopoulos, where me and the same dude watch every movie that Mike Myers has ever made.
Yeah.
And analyze them.
I went nice. On that. That was really fun. I went on that one.
Yeah, you've done that. It's one of the biggest wastes of time that anyone's ever been a part
look
of.
Look at where we are. Fun. Look at what we're doing.
How many films exactly. has he done?
Oh, not many, like 26. We've done about 52 episodes or 53 episodes. So we've watched things multiple times.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool. So
watched every appearance he's ever made on a talk show or whatever.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. awesome.
And yeah, so let's check those out for sure. But I would like to end the episode with a quote from Rob Schneider during the show as he was explaining how he knows how to feed his child to his wife. He says, "I've seen her eat before. I know which food the hole goes into."
No, you flubbed that, I think.
No.
You know what hole the food goes into?
I literally wrote it down.
Did he say, "I know what food the hole goes into"?
I know which food the hole goes into.
That's no. what he said.
I might have flubbed it, actually. see you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.